Allow me to share with you a thought on the parsha, a beautiful memory shared by Soloveitchik Zatzal. You can find it in the Chumash Mesoras Harav, which you'll see in the Yeshiva Beis Medrash. It's a beautiful memory that he shared once in a parsha shir with his audience. He said he remembers as a 7-year-old boy in Cheder, in Khaslavich, small little town in Russia where his father served as the Rav. This takes us back to Be'erach 1910, 1911, living in Tsarist Russia. He says he remembers the dreary, freezing cold winter days in January when he would trudge to Cheder. He'd have to come back holding a lantern at night because it was already pitch black outside. He says he remembers sitting in class and they'd have to read through the psukim, you know, chanting in a monotonous repetitive pasuk after pasuk, first Lashon HaKodesh, then translated to Yiddish. And he says, remember learning Parshas V'Yigash, and one of his classmates is reading the psukim and translating it to Yiddish. And as he gets to the pasuk where Yehuda recalls what Yosef had asked the brothers, where Yosef said, Hayesh Lacham Av, so all of a sudden the Chabad Malamed jumps out of his chair, he says, stop! And he turns to little Beryl Soloveitchik and he says, Hayesh Lacham Av, do you have a father? What kind of question is that? Of course they have a father. Everyone has a father. Only Adam Rishon didn't have a father. What kind of question is Yosef asking Yehuda? Hayesh Lacham Av. So the young Beryl Soloveitchik says, what do you mean? He's asking Yehuda, is your father still alive? Not, do you have a father? So the mama says, well, if that's what he wanted to ask him, so why didn't you say, Ha'ur Avicham Chai? Why did he say, Yesh Lacham Av? Do you have a father? Everyone has a father. What kind of question is that? So the Malamed then answers his question like this. He says, what Yosef was asking the brothers, Hayesh Lacham Av, means, not biologically are you born of a father. Obviously they're born of a father. Rather, what Yosef was asking the brothers was, Hayesh Lacham Av, do you still look to your father, in the Rav's words, as a branch looks to its roots, as the source of that which sustains you? Do you still look to your father in admiration? Do you still see in your father an example of values of how to live? Do you still see in your father a connection to the tradition from which you come from? Or are you like the shepherd wandering from field to field with no point of origin? You look down condescendingly upon your father as an ancient relic of a distant past that is no longer relevant to your life today. In other words, what's your perspective of your father? Do you still treasure that which he represents in terms of the link to the Mesorah that he is transmitting to you? Or do you feel that you're better than he is? You're more modernized. You're a far improved product over the beginnings from where you come. And he turns to one of the kids in the class, one of the brightest kids in the class, and he says, who do you think is better, you or your father, the blacksmith, who can't even read Hebrew? Do you think you know more than he does because you're able to learn Gemara and you learn Chumash and you know how to read, and your father's just a simple person, can't even read Hebrew? And what's your attitude towards the previous generation? What's your attitude towards those who are that link in the Mesorah? And the idea he was trying to convey was, how much do we value and treasure the earlier generation, which to us really symbolizes our link to the Mesorah? And his argument was that the more we treasure and respect the previous generation, the more we'll be capable of respecting our Mesorah and respecting Kadosh Baruch Hu altogether. Brought to mind a shmuz of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in which he said once and twice, he said this in his shmuzin, that his father used to try very hard to find a quality in his father that his father excelled in. Because Chayadim says in Hilchos Kibud Avim, Klal Samach Zayin, that Kibud Avim is bedibur, it's how you talk, it's b'maisa, how you act, but it's also b'machshava, how you think. You're supposed to think of your parents as chashuvim, as worthy of respect. So to do that, Chaim Shmulevitz's father would try to find in his father a quality his father excelled in, that he could look upon his father with admiration. Because lav dafka everyone's father is the gadol hador. In fact, most fathers are not. And lav dafka everyone's father is big lamdan and talmud chacham. Most are perhaps not. Lav dafka everyone's father is perfect in most ways. Most are not. but find something that you can admire about your parents. Maybe one person's father is koveit from the Torah. Another person's father davens with a minyan every day, no matter what. Another person's father doesn't daven with a minyan, but at least he davens with kavana. He's sincere. Another person's father doesn't daven, doesn't learn, but at least he's a bal midos, at least he's a bal chesed, he's a bal tzedakah. He's a sensitive person, a caring person. Whatever you can find in a parent to find worthy of admiration, of inspiration, it's kedai to hone in on that quality to enable you to respect your parents even b'machshava. Find a quality you can admire, something you can learn from. But that, according to Rav Soloveitchik's Malamed, was yesh lecham av. Do you still look to your father in a manner of admiration and respect, seeing in him a link to the previous generation? And I was reminded of, I think, a story I might have shared with you before as well, that this is not Dafka one's father, but the appreciation of the previous generation as a link to our Masorah, I think, applies to all members of that generation. Not Dafka one's father, but anyone that we could learn from, be inspired from, and to connect through that individual to the previous generation. You know, I have this chus to, in the course of my rabbanus, meet numerous individuals decades older than I am, so many of whom have remarkable stories that could serve as sources of inspiration, and often from people who you look upon them and superficially they appear to be no different than you and I. They appear to be the average, ordinary, simple Jew. But when you get to know the person, you dig a little deeper and you learn remarkable things about them, how this previous generation is not just a gateway to our Masorah, but it's also a tremendous source of inspiration. Tremendous source of inspiration. And so many such stories. Now, I have one fellow in my shul who is one of the proudest veterans I know. He served in the U.S. Navy during the Korean War on the USS New Jersey. He is so proud. He is so proud of his service. And it's amazing. His license plate, if you see it around the neighborhood, it's got on it, you know, USS New Jersey. His baseball hat is always a U.S. Navy hat. He gets no greater pleasure than taking friends on a tour of the USS New Jersey in Camden, New Jersey, which is now a, you know, naval museum. And he gets such nachas from sharing his stories of service. And this individual is someone who had a very, very, very difficult childhood. Very difficult childhood. His parents weren't able to care for him. He was raised by foster parents, separated from his siblings. I mean, and yet he's the most upbeat, most happiest, most smiliest person you will ever meet. Remarkable to me, remarkable to me. And he tells me stories about how when he served on the U.S. Navy on the USS New Jersey, so he served, I think it was in the printing room, where they print out, you know, the daily reports or flyers for the ship, whatever they needed. So he had a group of guys with him. He would never leave to go to breakfast to the mess hall in the morning until he finished his prayers, Shacharis, every morning, every single morning, on the USS New Jersey, which by the only Orthodox Jew on the entire ship. And this is a massive, massive battleship. It was the largest of its type ever made. I think it was a class of battleship that was the largest battleship the U.S. Navy ever had. So he's one of thousands of people on this ship. Probably the only Orthodox Jew, if I'm not mistaken. Never went to the mess hall in the morning to breakfast without davening first. And it looked like a little, kind of like a little closet-sized area in the printing room where he would daven every morning. And because he was so insistent on davening, and he always had such a pride in being Jewish, his fellow sailors who worked with him in the printing room would never go without him. They would always wait for him to finish his prayers before they went to the mess hall to eat breakfast. They would never go without him. And when he was targeted with some anti-Semitic remarks by one of the sailors, he essentially took the guy aside and said, "This is it. I'm done. Not take this anymore. Now, I'm not going to stand for this." He stood his ground, and Now, remarkable, on the surface, seems like an ordinary guy, but you learn about his, what he went through, some of his history, some of his background, and like he's a very, very tremendous source of esoteris, tremendous source of inspiration. I remember in my first shul, a woman named Mrs. Edith Cooper, also simple woman, seemed like a regular, ordinary Jewish woman like anybody else, and then one day, I happened to be speaking with her, and for the first time, she started opening up about her Holocaust experiences. She came from Poland, and she described to me how she was running into the woods with her mother, fleeing the SS, who were essentially searching the town for any and all Jews. Her mother hides her at the bottom of a pit in the woods, covers her with leaves, and then climbs out of the pit just as the SS are approaching. She hears her mother telling the SS, "There's typhus down there, I wouldn't go down there if I were you." She hears the machine gunning of her mother to death. She sees or senses the flashlights being pointed down at the bottom of the pit. She doesn't move. Remarkably, they didn't come down looking for her. They didn't even spray the pit with bullets, and she survived. She has subsequently escaped that pit. And she tells me how throughout the war, she saw Yad Hashem saving her time and again. That being but one example. That her life was so narrowly, just so close to being killed, and how she so narrowly escaped with her life. And she described another incident when she was in the ghetto, and there was a action in the ghetto, and all the young kids were being seized and carted off to gas chambers. And she and her brother dashed in their apartment up into like an attic behind a hidden door. And she says, she ran up, followed right by her brother, right behind her. And just as the SS entered the room, they grabbed her brother, but didn't grab her and didn't see her. And she says to me, "How do they see him and not see me? We ran up the attic stairs, this just one after the other. If they saw him running up the stairs, how come they come and find me?" So yeah, again, Yad Hashem. She said, "I saw Yad Hashem saving my life." And so I was always so remarkable. I found it so remarkable to have someone who suffered such tragedy. Her mother being machine gunned to death as she's listening, you know, a few feet away. Her brother being snatched from right behind her, being carted off to the gas chambers. And she's able to see in that Yad Hashem saving her life each time. A remarkable ability of someone to be in the middle of the Eis Tzara, the middle of such terrible suffering, and yet to see Yad Hashem throughout that suffering. So some of these individuals who you might think are just simple Jews are sources of tremendous inspiration. So says the Rav, quoting his Chabad Melamed, "Hayesh Lecham Av, do you have a father? Look back at the previous generation as a source of inspiration, a source of admiration, to look back and to treasure that connection. And to make the most of that connection, to try and find those sources of inspiration. And to carry that inspiration with you." I thought that was appropriately complimented by Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, who says later in the parsha, when Yosef famously says to his brothers, "Ani Yosef ha'ora avichai." So Rav Gamliel says, "Bederach Drush, Yosef is telling his brothers, Ani Yosef, I'm still the same Yosef that I was when I was living in my father's home. 22 years of Mitzrayim has not changed me. And why? Because Ora Vichai, because for me, my father is still a living force, a living inspiration. Even in 22 years, I've been abandoned and separated from my family, from the father, but I've been living with him in my mind's eye as a constant source of inspiration. So when one looks back upon the previous Doros as a source of inspiration and connection, you're able to maintain that way of life, even when subjected to terrible nisyonos and influences from the outside. So that idea of the Rav and of Gamliel, I thought, remained is very much similar. And then the Rav continued one last vart, and he said as follows. He said, Yosef then asked, "Hayesh lecham av o ach?" A father or a brother? To which the brothers responded, "Yesh lanu av zaken v'yelad zikunim katan." So the Yeld Zikunim Katam, the Av, the and the Ach, says of Soloveitchik, the Av represents the link to the past generation. The Ach, the Yeld Zikunim Katam, represents the focus on the future, both on an individual and on a national level. Focus on the future, meaning that we have to have a vision for transmitting this same Mesorah and values to the future generation. So that just as we should be looking to the past generation as sources of inspiration and admiration, we have to also be considering what we're going to represent to the next generation. What is the next generation going to see in us? Are they going to see in us someone who's kaveit in the Torah? Are they going to see in us someone who daven b'kavan with a minyan every day? Are they going to see in us someone who was focused on chesed and tzorach tzibur? And the time to ask that question, what will my children or the next generation see in me worthy of emulation, is not when you get to 70 or 80 years old. At that point, it's too late, for the most part. They'll already have seen a picture of what you are. The time to consider what the next generation is going to see in us and find worthy of emulation and sources of inspiration is right now. The way we conduct ourselves now, in our younger years, is going to determine how future generations will look back to us and see in us sources of inspiration. Are they going to see in us someone who is an Ovid Hashem with sincerity, someone who davens b'kavana? Are they going to see in us someone who's kovet l'matar, no matter what the day brings, I will always set aside time to learn, morning or evening, regardless of how busy the day is? Are they going to see in us someone so focused on tzorach tzibur, on tzedaka v'chesed? What is the next generation going to look back to us and say, oh, that's a source of inspiration? So you got to look not just back, you got to look forward as well. Av Zaken, Yeld Zukunim Katan. Look back to the previous generation for sources of chizuk, inspiration, connection to Mesorah, and then think about what we represent to the next generation. What are we going to stand for in their eyes? What's going to make us worthy of emulation? What are we exemplifying in our Avodas Hashem? And make that decision now, because it's going to start now. It's not going to start when you're 75, 80 years old, and all of a sudden then, oh, I got to make a good impression on my ankle. Let's start. No, too late by that point in time. It's got to start now, before you build the family. That's when you got to start making that part of your lifestyle. And on a national level as well, the Rav said beautifully, he said, Yeshlanu av zaken v'yal zukunim katan. We have a patriarch, Avos HaKadoshim, who were given Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, for dorei doros to come. That was and continues to be our homeland. And Yeld Zukunim Katam, we have a vision of returning there. We have a vision of going back there. Why are we capable on a national level of being Moser Nefesh and sacrificing so much for Eretz Yisrael? Because we have both that vision of the past and a vision of the future. To look back to the Av Zaken, to the Avos who acquired Eretz Yisrael on our behalf, who lived there, who built it. We have the vision of the Yeld Zukunim Katan, the future as well, that we ultimately, our destiny is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael. I came across a beautiful piece of poetry over Shabbos from none other than Emma Lazarus. Emma Lazarus, the famous Jewish poetess, whose words, "Give me your tired, give me your poor," I believe, are inscribed on the Statue of Liberty pedestal. Born in 1849, New York City, to a wealthy sugar refiner. Died young, age 38, from cancer in the 1880s. Never married, yet became one of the most famous American poets of the century. So in a book published in 1880 or so, Songs of a Semite, her reawakening to her Jewish heritage is very evident, because this was when the Jews in Tsarist Russia were suffering terrible persecution, and she was very perturbed by it. And seemed to have caused a stirring in her Jewish identity. So Harold Sacker, professor of Jewish of history, who wrote a book, The History of the Jews in America, cites a paragraph of poetry from her poem in which you see even in her the that sense of Jewish identity reawakening. A paragraph which I don't recall all offhand, but a few lines. With Moses' law and David's lyre, our ancient strength remains unbent. Let but a new Ezra rise anew to lift the banner of the Jew. So even this, you know, American, perhaps not very religious poetess, but reawakened to her Jewish identity and looking forward as well, not just to the past, with Moses' law and David's lyre, our ancient strength remains unbent, but also to the future. Let but an Ezra rise anew to lift the banner of the Jew. Seeking to reawaken Jewish pride and destiny and return to Eretz Yisrael as well. But that was a also beautiful, simple quote from a American Jewess who, maybe again, not from the most religious of backgrounds, but experienced a reawakening of Jewish identity, Jewish destiny. So halavai, we certainly should have that focus, that vision on the of Zakein, the visions of the Mesor we come from, and the El Zikunim Katan, the future vision, and to what it holds in store for us as a nation and as individuals, continuing the Mesorah and heading back ultimately Eretz Yisrael, the Ezras Hashem.